What's up, everybody? It's Corey Wagner. You're listening to the Life and Times of Corey Wagner podcast. It kind of sounds weird. I'm actually talking. I'm normally a producer of Behind the Smoke podcast, so I don't talk much. So this is all still new to me. But I'm fired up. I'm stoked. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know why I was doing it. But the more and more I think about it, I say, fuck it. Why not do this? Why not podcast? Why not just start? Because I know how big podcasting is right now. And I know how big that it will be in the future. So here it is. This is my first episode with a live guest. I'm pretty excited about this one. This is with a really good friend of mine from high school. His name's Trevor Simsby. He's a badass golfer. He went to college to play D1 golf at Washington, UW, and he is currently on a track to the very top. He's a pro golfer. He's got some awesome sponsors. And he's just a really, really cool friend of mine. And I think that what's unique about Trevor is he's still pursuing his dream. And a lot of my friends, including me, you know, we all had these sports goals and aspirations to go pro and be in the big leagues. But a lot of the times that's not going to happen. You know, because of whatever reason, but Trevor is still killing it. He is grinding it out all the time. He's traveling. He's got the most amazing swing. He's so good. And, I thought it'd be cool to bring him on the podcast while I had the chance. And, you know, I wish him nothing but the best and hope you guys get something out of this podcast with my man, Trevor Simsby. Enjoy. What's up, my friends? We are live, the first ever Life and Times of Corey Wagner with another person involved. I'm not just talking to myself. This is cool. So we're it's Tuesday, April 17th. I'm here with my man, Trevor Simsby. Trevor, man, thanks for doing this podcasting thing with me. Is this the first podcast you've ever
done? It is. It's really exciting.
Yeah, man. What a time.
I'm stoked to talk about some travels and pro golf and what it all entails.
Yeah, dude. Well, when did you very first start playing golf?
When I was
the first game,
11 years old.
Is that the first time
you ever? That I can remember actually like wanting and being into it and wanting to compete.
You knew you wanted to compete when you were a kid.
I played baseball until I was 12, and then I hurt my arm playing baseball throwing.
Oh shit!
And I literally couldn't throw; like it hurt.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Well, let's try something else." And my dad got me into golf. And went out for my middle school team, Degenio Middle School, or junior high, and then got hooked on it and then played for LCC. My freshman year, we were stacked, had a really good golf team, and kind of pushed me to get better. And we ended up winning the state championship my junior year.
Damn.
Up in Northern Cal. So that was cool. And then we had a really good high school. All my 4 years, we had guys going on scholarships to all kinds of colleges.
Yeah.
Dude, around the country. Back, so
back to baseball, man. You knew that I grew up playing baseball too.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it many times.
Yeah.
That's also why I stopped pitching, is because I fractured my growth plate in my elbow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was pitching and I was throwing hard. I was on a travel ball team. And
yeah.
Fucking had a pitching coach.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Jack. And I remember he was having me throwing, like, you know, the slider, the curveball, the split, everything, like the circle change, the different types of change-ups, the two-seam, the four-seam, and
You just get so into it when you're young and you don't really care.
I was like, fuck yeah, like I'm throwing all these different pitches. And then like now that I think about it, being 25 and I was only probably like 10, 11, 12, like what the fuck? Like a little kid who's barely developed, and you're having his arm like just do these crazy things to
Twisting
throw
and
these
torquing.
pitches. That that shit, that's crazy to think about. And also, like I remember my third grade teacher in elementary school, Mr. Stanton, I'll never forget. He knew how much I was into baseball, and he was always like, whenever you make it pro, just remember me, I want season tickets. And I'll never forget him saying that. And I like that was always in the back of my head, like, all right, I have to make it pro. And that was like always what I wanted to do. And then I got burnt out and played volleyball. Just you got probably we got what you got burnt out of baseball, or you just it hurt too much to play.
And I also kind of got the golf bug, and I think it was a combo of having some success early and then also being on a good golf team. That was like, wow, this is really fun, and that'd be fun to get better and improve with these guys.
Do you think golf is like the hardest sport that you can play? No bias, right? But
Yeah, I think it is overall. I think with everything put together, it is. Obviously the ball is standing still and it's waiting for you to hit it, and there's a lot of things that go into each shot, but yeah, overall, just from hand-eye coordination and mental strategy and not getting upset from all that put into one, it's pretty tough day to day to be consistent.
Golf, man. Like, I remember when I first ever tried to play, because my dad played golf and he was a caddy in high school and he lived in Pittsburgh. So he grew up playing golf as a kid. And so I think that's what kind of wanted, made me want to try playing. And dude, I was a fucking head case. Like, I'm so competitive. I am a perfectionist. Like, I would fuck up. Of course, you know, like it's golf. Of course, you're gonna fuck up. But I couldn't take that and like process it and be okay with like fucking up and sucking. And of course, I was gonna suck at golf. Like, and I hated it. And I would hate playing, and I would hate the way I felt because I knew that my dad was like, you know, trying to teach me. But I just like would get so pissed. Like, what do you do when you get so angry, but you know you can't be angry? Like, what are some ways you can like de-stress or just cut that anger out?
I've always been kind of I kind of point to like one of my favorite players, Phil Mickelson, because he, even though he's been so successful, he's so up and down in his career, and I just love him because he learns from his failures, and he always comes back stronger. I think it's so cool to watch him play. I think I'm kind of like that, where I've had my ups and downs, but I always seem to kind of come back. But as far as like in the moment when you get upset, I try to not let it show too much. It does, I'm competitive too, so it does kill me and it hurts like hell. But I think it's just so motivating to use it to get better rather than have it go the other way.
Have you ever snapped a club?
I have not.
You haven't?
No.
Dude.
I've thrown a club, but I have not snapped it yet.
Fuck, dude. I feel
So
like I totally
I've seen
would.
him snapped.
I mean, there's some golfers out there. Who are some of the golfers out there that have fiery tempers but can still play?
John Rahm, new kid from Spain. Rory has a pretty big temper when he
Rory,
gets off. I've seen him chuck a few clubs.
Fuck. What are the implications
Sergio.
for that? Like, so these guys have huge sponsors, and you know, everyone's watching, the cameras are on them. What happens to you if you like lose your shit? Do you
I
get
don't think they get fined for throwing a club, as long as it doesn't obviously put anybody in danger. But if they cuss or anything on television, they'll be fined for sure.
really?
If you see them their lips say whatever.
Really? Wow.
They'll be fine for
That's,
sure.
yeah. I mean, it makes sense because
I
you
think
can't trust
Sergio's the
them.
most controversial player I've seen out there. It's in interviews too.
Yeah.
He'll tell you how he feels. He's not gonna hide it.
Yeah, no bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, luckily on the podcast, you can say whatever
That's
the fuck you want
right.
because we don't really have, there's no like fucking government of
Yeah,
podcasting
exactly.
yet. So for the time being, we can do whatever.
Yeah. I remember
Yeah,
one interview,
cool.
Sergio flipped off the camera after some guy asked him a question. One of the guys from the media. He just flipped off the and just walked away.
Yeah, like, bye.
Yeah.
What a,
So you don't see
like,
that often with golf, you know?
write a $20,000 check the next
Yeah.
day. Sorry. A formal apology to all my fans.
Yeah.
This is not
Even
the
though I
way I
don't really
normally
care.
act. I'll never do this again.
Yeah.
Yeah, shut the fuck
You're
up.
definitely getting it again.
Sergio. Well, cool, dude. So do you have like a ranking? Are you, what do you consider you're an amateur professional
No,
or what do you, what's
I'm
your
a
title?
I've been a pro the last 4 years. I've been on the web.com tour, a little bit of the Canadian tour, and now the South American tour. So I've kind of done a lot of different tours and avenues, trying to make my way up. But yeah, you're basically considered a pro when you're accepting prize money, even if you play local mini tour stuff. So,
Yeah, so going from college, what are like the steps to becoming like that top tier pro? Like what do you have to do from college to get there? What are the steps?
you need I think you need to have proper coaching. You need to have some financial support, because it's just so expensive to start out. And I think you need to have some success early to
Yeah.
know that you can do it. You know, I've played with a lot of guys out there who, they're constantly financially backed up by whoever, sponsors or parents or whatever, but they don't ever, I mean, they've had hardly any success. So for them, I look at them, it's like it's just got to be hard, because they know it's sort of a gray area where you obviously want to keep playing because you want to keep getting better, but there's also a point where you got to say, hey, like, you know,
Yeah.
I haven't
I
gotten there.
suck.
Yeah, so it's,
Mom's paying the
yeah,
bills. Mom's not even watching me play golf anymore.
you need to have that kind of talk with yourself. So
Yeah.
I've been fortunate where I had some wins and I've had some success where I feel like I can keep going,
Yeah.
which is huge, because at pro golf, any kind of level of pro golf is tough. So if you can win or place high, it does wonders for your confidence. So.
Yeah, I mean, just the crazy thing about golf is you could have the best hole of your life, and then the next hole you think you're good, and then you're not.
Yeah.
You bogey,
Yeah.
or in my case, you triple bogey, you know. But that's, I mean, the thing that I like about golf is it's always different. Like the course will always change. There's always something dynamic. You're always going to have to adapt, or the wind changes,
Yeah.
or like you never know. Whereas, you know, when I was playing volleyball, the court dimensions, you know, I talk about this all the time to you, but the court dimensions are always the same. You
Yeah.
know, maybe there's just a different crowd in the audience, but basketball, volleyball, these dimensions never change. But like with
Yeah.
golf, I mean, you could be good on one style of course, and then the next course, you could just get eaten up.
Yeah.
What's your favorite style of course, and what style are you best at?
I play my best. Actually, I play my best when it's hot outside and the ball's going pretty far. So, elevation, like Nevada, Utah. I've had a lot of my good golf being played, like, you know, when it's 80 plus degrees outside and the ball's going far
Yeah.
and you feel good. You know, you're relaxed, you know, you don't feel like you have to overswing. So I've had a lot of success like playing at high altitude, and I like courses that are firmer usually, like the where you're bouncing kind of into the greens. You got to strategize. You can't just fly it to the hole. You got to kind of play to the front and have it kind of bounce up, and like fast greens, and I like that kind of style.
Faster greens.
Faster greens,
Yeah.
firmer, roll balls rolling. So yeah.
How do you like, what's your typical week of training? And, do you have to train every day, every week, or are you just naturally talented and you don't have to practice?
Kind of depends on how you're feeling about things. Like,
Yeah.
when I'm here, like these next couple of days, I need to dial in my equipment before I leave. So it's going to be
Talk about that. Talk
mostly,
about dialing in your equipment, because to you that probably is so normal by now of how you do that. But to the normal golfer and even myself, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's so specific to each person. Like if you and I go and get measured for clubs, we're going to be a heck of a lot different than some guy that's 5'5" with short, stubby arms, who can only swing at, his driver at 80 miles an hour, where you could probably swing it at 110 or something like that. So their clubs are so specific to the person, and the way that technology is now with TrackMan, which is the program that's able to like record your shots and your swing speed and your club path. I mean, you can literally buy what's called a TrackMan, and it's like a laptop where you can carry it onto the driving range, and you can hit shots, and it'll announce through a voice control, like, 7 iron went 168 yards. Club path was 0.06 from the inside.
All I can think is like
Spin rate,
oh my gosh.
yeah, it's just incredible what they can do. So getting properly fit is gigantic to playing good golf now. It used to not be. It used to not be a big deal when they played wooden clubs and they didn't really
Back in
care.
my day,
Yeah, they never
we
practiced.
didn't have technology. We just hit the ball.
Yeah, and they had whiskey at
Yeah,
the
dude. Well, like that's the crazy thing. And on our Behind the Smoke podcast that we do, we are always talking about technology and how it's changing things and environments. And but technology and sports is a whole nother topic too. And technology and golf. My neighbor who I've told you about works for Callaway.
Yep.
She's like this crazy smart engineer. Okay, if you're an engineer, you don't automatically think that you're going to go working for a sport, a top, a sports brand. And so she's doing the golf ball engineering
Yeah.
program for Callaway.
Which
Like,
is massive now
who
too,
even
golf
thought?
balls.
Yeah. So talk about some of the things that go into golf balls. Like, what the fuck? What's it? What's inside a golf ball?
So they have different cores. They're almost like a gummy rubber, like a rubber bouncy ball core. And then Callaway is known for having a softer, outer. Well, inner and outer core, which is able to, you're able to kind of spin it more around the green, and it'll come off softer. So it's easier for your short game, but it's not going to go quite as far as, say, the Titleist or the Bridgestone ball, which are more for built for distance and controlling trajectory, like into the wind when the wind's going left to right to left. So if you were to go out, if I were to go out now to test golf balls, I would want to go where it's windy and hit different shots, whether it's into the right to left wind or left to right wind, and kind of see how it reacts. Because each ball is different in how far they're going to go and how you like it too. Some guys hit it so far they might want a softer ball to dial it back, or some guys don't hit it far enough, so they want a ball that pops off and goes a little further. So it's relative, but they're so scientifically savvy now with the way they build golf balls. It's just insane. It's crazy.
Damn. Well, what are some of your craziest stories that you have from playing pro golf? I mean, I know that you're always traveling,
And the thing about golf is you're always on your own. Like you got to learn how to be
Yeah.
on your own, and you're staying with families. Tell me, talk about that process.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to stay with some really awesome people when I've been traveling. I can't even think of one family that was really like a damper on the week or anything or on the tournament. In Louisiana, I stayed with a couple. The guy went played football for LSU. He had a catered crawfish broil and had like 100 people over from the tournament slash his buddies, and it was like 100 pounds of crawfish, and it
All
was
you can
like,
eat,
yeah, it was
just
just like the good old
wow.
Sir Dirty South, like
Yeah.
super fun,
Invite the whole neighborhood.
yeah, really friendly. So I've been on the web. We always played in small towns like Lafayette, Louisiana, Springfield, Missouri, Knoxville, Tennessee, towns that need tournaments like that to kind of rally them together. The PGA Tour will hit more of the big cities like San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco. So it's kind of nice to like be in the small towns just because it's kind of cool to see how they kind of rally together around the tournaments, and they get some big crowds, which is cool. But yeah, I'm trying to think craziest story.
Anything crazy like on the golf course ever happen, or
Yeah, I'm trying to
you
think.
go out, have a crazy night, you drink something you shouldn't have?
Well, yeah, this 3 weeks ago in Guatemala, I got food poisoning with my buddy, who was my roommate, and we got our rental car broken into the first night.
No. Did you have insurance or anything
We
on it?
put some insurance, but it wasn't enough to
You
cover it
didn't
all.
know. Wow.
And they should have told us for, I mean, they kind of hinted at it, but they didn't really tell us at the counter when we left with the, I mean, it was like I felt like Jason Bourne driving around the city, like trying to dodge all these
My God.
cars and
What'd you guys eat?
buses. We think it might have been the eggs we cooked one morning. They weren't refrigerated down there, or possibly cheese. Or I had, I think, one iced drink. You're not supposed to have the ice. And not only did our rental car get broken into, but someone sideswiped me on my left, pulling out, and they just drove off. I couldn't even follow them because there were so many cars that it just goes. They drive so fast there, it's like frantic, you know. So you just
That sounds like a
gotta be on
nightmare.
your game, yeah.
And you're just telling me about your Argentina trip. You get some get any barbecue down there? Did you meet anyone that liked to barbecue?
Yeah, they love their bife, it's called, and chorizo, which is like pork sausage. It's like hu it's huge down there, and also bread is big. And what else? They have amazing wine in a place called Mendoza, Argentina. And it's very far south, so hardly anybody speaks English.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so it really forces you to kind of step out of the comfort zone and
Didn't
learn
have
Spanish.
Spanish in high school together, did we?
I think we did it. We had
One
one
of the
class,
one of
De
them.
La Para.
Oh yeah,
The
dude.
young girl.
Yes. Oh
Yeah,
my.
remember
Wow. Yeah, with Drew. Yeah, of
her?
course I remember, dude.
Yeah.
That lady was crazy.
Yeah, she was.
One of the I remember. Yeah, dude. Okay, now I remember completely the whole class. I know that.
She was a TA in my middle school class too, my Spanish, like intro to
Wow.
Spanish.
I remember she brought in dead crickets to show that she eats them or something. Like, I'm pretty sure someone was
Really?
like, I bet you don't really eat those or whatever.
Yeah, that
And she
sounds right.
brought them in and she's eating them crickets during the class. And, we're at La Costa Canyon.
Yeah.
Bunch of white kids like, oh my God, what the
Yeah.
fuck is she doing?
What's going on?
Yeah, wow. That's crazy, dude.
Is that normal in Mexico?
Like, how does that work when you're, do you have like some sort of program that places you with families, or you have to, do you have to figure out
You
where
need
you're
to,
staying all the
you
time?
got to figure it out on your own.
So
But
you are
there
like
are hosts.
booking?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Everything. Yeah. It's really popular to do Airbnbs now, especially in South America. Like I just split a place with six people in Argentina. So with everything, it was like 250 a man for 7 nights, which makes it great, you know, and you're right next to the course. And the people I stayed with were actually able to drive us around a little bit. So we paid them a little bit for their transportation. But yeah, it's kind of like smart now the way they we can do the Airbnbs where we can stay close to the course and cook on your own a little bit and save money, you know, rather than hotel it every week and spend $1,000 to 1,500 when it's not that needed. I mean, you know, the hotels are always going to be pretty good,
I mean, cut.
but you don't really get an experience either because if you stay at a Holiday Inn every week, it's like
You know, Airbnbs are so cool. I think there's so many mo business models that are going to start taking after that same thing. Like, you know, just like it's so nice to do an Airbnb and it's often cheaper. And me and Alana are going to Barcelona. We're staying with a friend, luckily. That saves a lot of money. But we decided at the end of the trip that we should get an Airbnb in Barcelona, so you know we're not imposing the whole time we're there on them, and also we're going to have our own experience where we get to have our own place. And you know, that's a cool thing about Airbnb, just it's
Yeah,
like your
you can
home.
write reviews on the people you stayed with, so you can always look at the reviews, look at the pictures. It's all like interactive. You can talk to the hosts online and ask questions. So it's just so it's so cool. So
Yeah, that's cool. I was working at the digital ad agency after college in Marina Del Rey called OMD. They also had part of that warehouse space called TBWA Chiat Day, and they were the creative agency for Airbnb. So when I was working doing the digital media, like the ads and stuff on the Hilton team, we shared the same space, and so I got to see them working on the Airbnb, like you know, ads and creative things like their billboards, or you know, they get to see their team, and they have just the guys are incredible, like they're artists, and like it's just incredible, like how they do everything. But tell me more about like your sponsor process. That's something that's pretty cool. And when did you first start? Did you go after sponsors or do they start approaching you?
I got through cute qualifying school, it's called my first time. My first go around. So it's three stages, three separate tournaments, and you finish in a certain rank. So top 45 from the final stage got status, it's called, for the web.com tour, which is right below the PGA, which was huge for me, like coming out of college. And so Callaway approached me, and I had a good relationship with them throughout college and high school. And they just asked, you know, if they they can sponsor me. And I went through the contract and everything, and so they paid me that first year to play on the web.com to have a bag and hat and everything that said Callaway,
Nice.
which was cool. And then my second year, I kind of fell off the web.com, so they continued the product sponsorship but no payments.
How old were you?
I was 23 at that 22 the first year. And 23 at the, you know, in October.
You graduated college 22 years old, right? Same.
Well, I guess I was 21 in June and then turned 22 in October, so close.
Got it.
But yeah, so I had Callaway that first year, which was awesome. And then it's kind of been, I mean, it has been tough the last 3 years. I won a tournament at the end of last year that kind of has helped me to get to where I am now. And you know, I've had a couple times where, you know, I've really had to watch, you know, expenses when I'm traveling, whether it's like, you know, staying at little motels and
The Shack Airbnb.
like really watching it. And then you kind of, you finish well in a tournament, and you're like, okay, I'm okay for a while.
Yeah, you
It's just
never
like,
know.
yeah, it's just like with anything with work, you know, it's just unstable the way it is right now. And you got to kind of grind through it. And it's really top heavy. So when you do win, you can win quite a bit of money in golf. You know, there is a lot out there. You just kind of need to peak at the right time and have confidence. And the guys that have made it on the PGA Tour, not only can you earn a lot through just winnings, but with sponsorships and you know, it's just crazy how much, you know, commercials and clothing deals, and there's just a lot of money in it. So
yeah, so
when you get there,
if you, I guess, like, you could really get as many sponsors as there could be, or you can't, you know, have any competitors, or do you know, there's certain,
yeah,
rules,
it's really wide open. I mean, I'm my own, I'm kind of an entrepreneur, so I mean, I have a small sponsor right now. They're called NV5, which is a construction and engineering firm in South Florida and also in Southern California. And I just ran in, I met the CEO at the end of last year, who has sponsored one of my good friends that lives in Florida. And then also a guy who's been on the PGA Tour, Kyle Reifers. He's been off and on web.com PGA Tour. So we've agreed that as I progress to higher levels, the sponsorship will get higher. So that's awesome to have that. It's just a small sponsorship right now, but it can grow.
Yeah.
So something like that is nice to have, where it's like an incentive for you to obviously play well and get better. But yeah, as far as sponsorships, you know, I'm wide open. As far as putting logos on the golf bag, or, you know, I have their logo on my shirts.
Yeah.
Nice. That's... So yeah, you can put it anywhere. I mean, collars, shirts, hats, you know, it's, you can go all over. So
what fascinates me all the time as I go to open this beer, we're drinking that Maui Bikini Blonde.
Maui.
How do you like this beer?
It's really good, man.
I'm
full though after that delicious vegan Thai.
Dude, Plumeria?
Yeah.
Is that your first vegan Thai?
We're going vegan here in North Park.
See, when you come down to North Park, you're going to get some vegan food.
Yeah.
You know, once you said Thai, I figured we'd be going to get some
Plumeria.
This
isn't vegan beer though, is it?
Vegan, this is not vegan beer.
No.
I think that.
I don't know if they make that.
No, they make similar things like that. But yeah, man. Well, what do you got coming up for golf? What's new, and what are you excited about right now?
I have a Monday qualifier in Indiana for the web.com event, which I think is the best event of the year on the web.com. It's the hardest course and the best condition. And it's also one of the best times of year because it's not too hot. Once you start getting into like Missouri in July, I mean, it's like an oven, you know. Ugh, come like sweaty. 9 a.m. You're just, it's just like, it's crazy humid and, the sun is very strong. So I think this time of year is awesome to play well and, kind of get your year going. And then, so if I can qualify on Monday, I'll be in the tournament starting on Thursday. And I played the course before, so I feel like it'd be an awesome week. Represent,
yeah,
San Diego.
Yeah, you feeling good, man? How's your swing right now? How's your short game?
I feel motivated. I'm not playing my best, but I feel like very motivated to get it going. It's been kind of a slow start this year, but I know what I'm doing, and I know what I can achieve. So trying to focus on that, moving forward. I've had a little bit of some health issues starting out this year, traveling, and, I haven't had the best success in South America. So I'm trying to work on that.
Trying to stay away from South America.
Yeah. Whether I need to just eat more vegan food or
don't drink the water. Yeah. Don't eat the meat. Yeah, man, that's tough. Well, thanks for coming on, dude. Yeah. I appreciate you talking with me. A couple more things that I was just curious about, because if there's anyone listening out there, maybe you would be able to provide a couple easy, actionable golf tips to help the average golfer. What are some of the most common things that we do as golfers, our rookie ass selves, and how are some ways we can, what are you have any like tips or activities we should be doing?
Take one extra club always, because
When you're going to the
every
ball.
amateur is very usually comes up short. So take a longer club, like a 7 iron compared to an 8 iron. And then also when you're on a tee box, if there's trouble on the left,
What does trouble mean,
like if there's a
Mr.
hazard, if there's a bunker, if there's water on the left, set up on the left side of the tee box, and that will naturally kind of aim you away from that trouble. If there is water, if there's a massive lake on the left, don't set up on the right.
Because you'll hit to the left?
Exactly. So set up
Man,
on the
that's
left.
probably why I fucking hit
Yeah, so there you go.
the
So then gear away from that,
lake.
and it'll naturally, that's what I learned when I was
Okay,
younger.
that's good. What about like,
So.
I mean, maybe just speaking for myself, but my short game is what is the worst for me, and I feel like a lot of other people have not the best short
Yeah.
game. What are some like good putting? I know that when you kind of try and rock your arms like a pendulum and you're not moving your wrists when you're putting, but I know you could probably give us something better.
Chipping, I would say try to chip with one hand, whether it's your left or your right, whatever feels more comfortable. Chip for like 10 or 15 minutes with just one hand
One-handed.
and see how that feels. The club's going to feel very heavy, but it's going to make your instincts kick in and you're just going to kind of learn how to make proper contact. It's hard at first, but when you do it for 5, 10 minutes, you'll be so frustrated that you can't, you'll find a way to kind of, and that's what I've always been told is, if you're struggling with chipping, try just one-handed. And that, because it's hard enough with two, but if you can use one, it'll make your instincts kind of pick up.
Fuck yeah.
So yeah, man, one-handed chipping.
That's the trick.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on, man. I hope you
Yeah.
enjoyed it.
First podcast.
First one.
First of many, right?
Hopefully, we get this thing published sometime.
That'd be cool.
And what are you gonna do? You have social media you're active on?
Yeah, I have
What's it?
Instagram. I post, pictures, and I post stories of where I'm at.
What's
Try
your
to, kind of give an inside look of what I'm doing, and what I'm where I'm kind of going for the week and what's been interesting so far that week. And
Yeah, well,
so
coming from the social media guy myself, I mean, if you're looking to build your brand, I could at least recommend you doing videos. Videos are so powerful. I know that when we went to Encinitas
yeah, the
Ranch,
driving
I
range.
was like, let's do a little Facebook Live, and I just like to mess around. But at the same time, I mean, if you are trying, I'm sure social media is now playing a huge factor in golf and having this following, showing your brand and blah blah blah, but
Yeah.
figure out a way to incorporate video into your Facebook strategy and figure out like a consistent posting schedule for Instagram and have a plan. I think it's important, especially in golf, because there is a huge media side of it. And Twitter, I'll make sure to what's your Twitter? What's your Twitter handle? Do you know it off the top of your
I think
head?
it's just my name, Trevor Simsby.
Trevor, how do you spell that?
Trevor Simsby is my.
And what's your social security
Yeah,
number?
right? Exactly.
Cool, man. Well, if anyone's listening and they want golf advice or help, can they come to you and ask?
Yes, of
Permission
course.
granted?
they can message me on Instagram. That's just my name, or Facebook. I'm not on Twitter too much, so Instagram for sure.
You better get on Twitter, my friend.
Yeah.
And get to tweeting. Get to twatting. Yeah, here's a freebie. You can check out TweetDeck.
Yeah.
TweetDeck, it's a cool platform for Twitter where you can actually schedule out tweets.
Okay.
I recommend it. So you could look at your schedule of wherever you're going. Let's say you're going literally you could schedule the night before you leave, announce where you're going to play. And I'm so excited. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag Trevor Simsby. Callaway. Shout out my sponsors. But you could schedule out your tweets when you know that you're going to be going on these trips. And that way, you know, if anyone ever searches you or Googles you because they saw you playing, and then all of a sudden your Twitter pops up and all of a sudden they message you and they're like, hey, I work for blah, blah, blah. We're looking for some young talent to sponsor. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, for sure.
People can find you. But thanks again, man.
Of course.
Great beers, great talks, and excited to see you make it to the top on the PGA Tour.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
That was Trevor Simsby. That's my man. He is a badass golfer. He's a great human being. He's a great friend of mine. I am lucky to have great friends in my life, and he is one of them. I hope that he does well. He deserves to do well. He busts his ass on the grind. He's always traveling for golf. He's trying to make it. I can't imagine how tough it really is to be a golfer at that skill level and to keep the dream alive. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not as easy as it looks. That's for sure. You can find him on Instagram at Trevor Simsby. That's Trevor, S-I-M-B, Simsby. I'm going to fuck this up. At Trevor Sims, S-I-M-S-B-Y. Follow his story. You know, get in touch if you're looking to improve your golf game. If you're tired of snapping your clubs because you're double bogeying, you're triple bogeying, you're lying about your score because you want to beat your friend, hit up Trevor. Trevor's got some great tips. I hope you can use that one he gave you. And tune in next time, my friends. I don't know who's going to be on next, but hopefully it's a good person. Peace.